And I get to record on this computer, so I think it's recording. So hang on here. I got it. We're doing it. And everything I kind of went over right now, some of this is a little redundant. I go into some further explanation. So anything that we missed at the beginning, we're going to continue. We'll continue to have. So that second one, English language acquisition programs. So under that same section 203, an English language acquisition program was called that English literacy program under WIOA. It is still designed to help English language learners achieve competence in reading, writing, speaking, and comprehension of the English language. But now under WIOA, the program of instruction must also lead to attainment of a secondary school diploma or its recognized equivalent and transition to post-secondary education or training and lead to employment. So really, that English language acquisition program means a program of instruction that's designed to help eligible individuals who are English language learners achieve that competency, reading, writing, speaking, and comprehension of the English language. And it needs to lead to that attainment of that secondary school diploma or its recognized equivalent, that it can also lead to transition to post-secondary education or training, and that eventually leads to that employment piece. So that's the final end goal. That third bullet point, how does a program that is intended to be an English language acquisition program meet the requirement that the program leads to attainment of a secondary school diploma or its recognized equivalent and transition to post-secondary education and training or leads to employment? So the proposal, what happened under WIOA is it establishes it that 463.32 establishes how an English language acquisition program must meet the new requirement that it lead to school completion and transition to post-secondary opportunities, or that it lead to employment. It also establishes that a program satisfies the requirement by using these two very important words, rigorous and challenging adult education standards that meet the requirements in the Unified State Plan, and also provides supportive services that assist an individual to attain a secondary school diploma or its recognized equivalent and transition to post-secondary education or training or designing that program to be part of a career pathway, which is most important. And those are those things that we've been talking about as we've been putting our adult education programs together with our Iowa workforce partners and our PACE and GAP partners as well. It's important to note, and I don't have a slide for it, but that the Unified Plan, the Unified Plan can be found on the Iowa Workforce Development website. So you can go there and take a look at that. I think it's still a living document, as it may change, but the most recent one is there. All right. So that fourth bullet point, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the secondary school diploma requirement. That this acquisition program is a program of instruction, and it must have implemented state adult education content standards that are aligned with the state adopted standards under ESEA, the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, as described in the state's unified plan or combined state plan, as evidenced by the use of a curriculum that is aligned with state adult education content standards, or it should offer supportive services that assist an eligible individual to attain a secondary school diploma or its recognized equivalent in transition to post-secondary education or employment. And again, I think very importantly is to be part of a career pathway. All right. The fourth bullet point, what are integrated English literacy and civics education services? So WIOA did include among the authorized adult education and literacy activities a set of services that were previously authorized through the annual appropriations language. So you can find it in that language. These services are integrated English literacy education services, which WIOA is defined as educational services that include both literacy and English language instruction integrated with a civics education. So under the new WIOA, these services may be provided to adults who are not only English language learners, but they could be professionals with degrees or credentials in their own native countries. It may also include workforce training activities. I just think it's important to repeat that the integrated English literacy and civics education services are education services provided to those learners, including professionals with degrees and or with credentials from their native countries. It enables each of those adults to achieve competency in the English language and acquire the basic and more advanced skills needed to function effectively as parents, as workers, and as citizens in the United States. These integrated English literacy and civics education services must include instruction in literacy and English language acquisition, and instruction on the rights and responsibilities of citizenship and civic participation, and also may include workforce training. Move to the next slide. Maybe. Well, there we go. So then the next five, the first one, workforce preparation activities, and we'll go into a little bit more detail on that, but the statutory language in WIOA establishes workforce preparation activities as programs or services that are designed to help an individual acquire a combination of basic academic, critical thinking, digital literacy, and self-management skills, and we'll talk a little bit about all of those a little bit more. While adult education and literacy instruction has traditionally supported the development of basic academic and critical thinking skills, workforce preparation will also support the development of self-management skills and digital literacy skills. So those are kind of added and extra on there. That WIOA further states that the workforce preparation includes developing competencies and using resources and information, working with others, understanding systems, and obtaining skills necessary to successfully transition to a complete post-secondary education, training, and employment. The competencies are commonly incorporated into a definition of employability skills, you know, and I think you can take a look at any number of different resources, agencies, partners that you work with, you know, Iowa Workforce, any hiring agencies or authorities, Vocational Rehabilitation Department for the Blind, to look at those employability skills and what's expected and what's out there. Trying to see. So really the idea is that workforce preparation activities include activities, programs, services, and those services that are designed with all that you guys have done, all the partnerships you're creating and making to help an individual acquire a combination of those basic academic skills, you know, their critical thinking skills, their digital literacy skills, self-management skills. And those competencies are included in utilizing resources. And I consider that to be a non-exhaustive list of anything that can be considered a resource to educate and train towards employment. The next one would be using any and all available information that's out there for this. The other competency would be working with others. We all know how important that is. You know, and that includes soft skills, those non-cognitive skills, working with teams, team building, those types of things. And then understanding systems and how different systems work also provides for the skills necessary for successful transition into and completion of a post-secondary education, training, or employment. And then other employability skills that increase the individual's preparation for the workforce. And you know, that can include any current skills they bring into the classroom or the training program. You know, any crossover skills that perhaps they bring in from their culture, their native country, any talents and likes that go on. So it can run, really run the gamut and be all inclusive. So the next one would be integrated education and training, which we'll go into even deeper, but that's 463.35. And, you know, the term integrated education and training really refers to the idea of a service approach that provides adult education and literacy activities. And I think it's very important, these two words, provides education and literacy activities concurrently and contextually with workforce preparation activities and workforce training for a specific occupation or occupational cluster for the purposes of education and career advancement. So all that together. We'll go in a little bit deeper with IET training. And IET training is something that we're really going to bring even further to our professional development as we move deeper into providing for our WIOA process for the state. So some of the components that are required for an integrated education and training program within Title II. So there's some new components. The three components that would be required in an integrated education program are, number one, adult education and literacy activities. Number two, those workforce prep activities that we talked about. And again, number three, the workforce training. Two of those components, the adult education, as we dig deeper into that, and literacy activities and workforce preparation activities are discussed further in those sections, the subsections of 463.3 and 463.34. But it also helps to clarify that the workforce training component is, and by referencing section 134 of WIOA, which I've got information on that on a later slide, but that helps identify the activities that constitute training with the employment and training services authorized by Title I-B. And again, I've got that information. We'll go further into that. So the idea that an integrated education and training program must include three components, so again, adult ed and literacy activities, workforce prep activities, and then those workforce training for a specific occupation or an occupational cluster, which can be any one of the training services find in that section. I pulled that out, and we'll go over that. But again, it's that combination of all that we've been doing, that you've been doing, working on those partnerships and those skills for that individual as you developed an engaged workforce, folk rehab, your sector partnerships, your employers, along with all of what goes on in your community colleges. So the next one would be, how does a program providing integrated education and training under Title II meet the requirement that the three requirements must be integrated? So the regulation does require that integrated education and training programs balance the proportion of instruction across those three components, that they deliver the components, most importantly here, simultaneously, and use occupationally relevant instructional materials. This would also require a program to have a single set of learning objectives that identify specific adult education content, those workforce prep activities, and again, workforce training competencies. These proposed requirements are intended to facilitate the design of a high-quality integrated education and training program that focuses on improving the academic skills of low-skilled adults while advancing their occupational competencies. So really looking at the integration portion of this, in order to meet that requirement that the adult education and literacy activities, those workforce prep activities, and the workforce training be integrated, the services need to be back to those two big descriptors, they need to be provided concurrently and contextually within the overall scope of a particular integrated education and training program, the adult education and literacy activities, workforce prep and workforce training are instructionally balanced proportionally across those three components. Needs to be done particularly with respect to improving that individual's reading, their writing, their mathematics, and the English proficiency of the eligible individuals. Again, occur simultaneously, and use occupationally relevant instructional materials. They need to be integrated education and training. The integrated education and training program will have a single set of learning objectives that identifies specific adult education content, workforce prep activities, and workforce training competencies. The program activities are organized to function competitively. Excuse me, cooperatively. So we can be competitive, and I know we all are at times, but they need to be organized to function cooperatively. And that's kind of what we've been working on, it seems like, over this last year anyway, the cooperation between all the partnerships that we've been building. So this final one, how does a program providing integrated education and training under Title II meet the requirements that an integrated education and training program be for the purpose of educational and career advancement? To meet the WIO requirement that the integrated education and training program be for the purpose of educational and career advancement, the educational component of a program would be required to align with the state's content standards for adult education, again, in the state's unified plan, which you can go look at the IWD Works website, or the combined state plan, or the program would be required to be part of a career pathway. That is, as that term is defined in Section 3 WIOA. But more importantly, the idea that the use of a rigorous and challenging academic standards and career pathways that contextualize learning are recognized strategies to promote readiness for post-secondary education and work. So as a, you know, as a provider, how do we do this? We can meet the requirement that the integrated education and training program provided is for the purpose of educational and career advancement if the adult education component of the program is aligned with the state's content standards for adult education as described in the state's unified plan, and the integrated education and training program is part of a career pathway. So as we've kind of tried to put folks together throughout this last year, looking at, for instance, the Moving Pathways Forward grant and those type of activities, really pushing the engagement between career pathways, adult ed, and all of our partners. All right. So we'll want to look a little bit closer one more time at what those workforce preparation activities are. The idea really is to kind of look at the, hopefully you can see the red wording on this slide, that activities, programs, or services designed to help an individual acquire that combination of basic academic skills, those critical thinking skills, those digital literacy skills, and those self-management skills. Those are the most important piece of that, including those competencies which we talk about, utilizing all the resources, all the different information that's out there, the ability to work with others, work with teams, just trying to figure that whole situation out, understanding what different systems are and how to work within them, and then including the skills necessary for successful transition into the completion of post-secondary education training. Most important, employment.
Yes.
Can you guys go ahead and mute yourselves a little bit? There we go. All right, and then the other red bullet point, other employability skills that increase an individual's preparation for the workforce. So, all right. The next slide is on digital literacy, which is another focus within 463 regarding the AFLA programs. But digital literacy means the skills associated with using technology to enable users to find, evaluate, organize, create, and communicate information. And you know, it's the idea that their ability to use digital technology, to communicate, to use different types of communication tools or networks to locate, evaluate, and use and create information. Being able to get them the ability to understand and use information in multiple formats from a wide range of sources, especially when it's presented through computers. You know, it's the person's ability to perform tasks effectively in a digital environment, kind of where they're at with that. That literacy also includes the ability to read and interpret different types of media, the ability to reproduce data and images through digital manipulation, and to be able to evaluate and apply new knowledge gained from digital environments. Really, it comes for any and all of us, I think, is very applicable even to today for everyone. How comfortable are we performing all these different tasks and using all the different types of technology that's out there? So, this was one of the overview discussions regarding some of the comments. And so within the National Reporting System, NRS, for adult education, educational functioning level descriptors were recently revised to align with rigorous college and career readiness standards, which included much of the knowledge and skills listed under the workforce preparation activities, which we went over. So just as you all know, given your specific job functions, the EFLs, or those educational functional level descriptors for literacy, English language arts, are intended to guide both teaching and assessments for those adult learners. All of us, I believe, know that they're divided into six EFLs. So you've got beginning literacy, beginning basic, low intermediate, high intermediate, low adult secondary, and high adult secondary. The descriptors don't necessarily provide a complete or comprehensive delineation of all the skills at any given level, but they do provide examples of the most critical concepts and skills for the level. While the narrative descriptors address the most critical concepts for assessments and instruction for adult learners, those lesson plans and test items should be based on any additional criteria that you guys can provide from state instructional frameworks and standards as appropriate for the learner for state requirements. The EFLs for literacy and English language arts are organized, again, we all know this, in the reading, writing, speaking, listening, and language domains. But the emphasis is placed on reading and writing because most of the instruction and assessment attention will be paid to these domains for the ABE students. In addition, these descriptors were further informed by OCTAE's framework for employability skills, which is a great resource that you can go to as you go to that website, to ensure the levels paid adequate attention to workforce preparation, which is extremely important. Of course, Iowa still uses ASC High with scores of 246 in math and reading. Next slide. So more of that overview discussion as they pulled this information out, that they maintain, therefore, that workforce preparation activities are assessed broadly through the assessment of educational functioning levels, which we just got done talking about. And they also want to remind states that Part 462, so Part D, does not preclude any of you from including additional assessments not to be reported to the NRS as part of a state assessment policy. And that's probably a really good thing. Obviously, it keeps the door open for flexibility in your programs, flexibility in all that we do for alternative evaluation processes, which will probably, you know, we need to have that ability to think differently for each different individual, that case-by-case basis situation as they come in and become part of our programs. All right. So the next slide, again, is more overview discussion. It talks about employability skills, that it's important to provide learners at all levels with opportunities to master employability skills, encourage eligible providers to incorporate workforce prep activities into all education and literacy activities as appropriate. And also that piece of coordination with employers. Again, we kind of beat that drum, but we would need to continue to do that because it's so important. that new adult education and literacy activities such as workforce prep activities and integrated education and training offer adult educators those new opportunities, opportunities that we all are trying to create within these partnerships, within our classrooms, to enhance and expand engagement efforts with employers so that adult education services meet the needs of job seekers and employers. You know, it's just good to stress and emphasize that partnership, all the partnerships that you've made, the employer engagement, and it's just going to be such a key role in the success of that learner and in the success of all of your programs. I might take a minute now just to take a look at the chat, and I see Alex has something on here about some more IET, which I'm going to go into. So that's good. All right. And I can unmute anybody that needs to be unmuted for if you guys had a quick question before we move on. We're about halfway into our halfway into this, so we'll probably take most of the rest of the time, but not all of it. Okay, let me go back and do some more muting here, and then I'll continue on as we go. And if you guys have any other questions, we'll pop those back into the chat box, and I will take a look at those towards the end here. All right. They've included on the slide some technical assistance resources for the information material that we just went over, and we talked a little. One of them you looked at was employability skills framework. So through cte.ed.gov, there's some really good resources within that website. Also, as you look at how to coordinate with employers, and again, I think I've talked to almost all of you over the last year about your partnerships, but if you go into links.ed.gov, they've got really, really extensive, exhaustive research on how to work with employers, and we can all see that it's a critical, critical piece of the success of how this works. Again, with digital literacy skills, as you begin to implement that within our classroom activities, you can go to links.edu.gov as well to get more information on that. Career awareness through that collegetransition.org program, and then Links also does provide college transition information as well. And again, I'll send these slides on so you guys can, you don't have to copy down the any of the URL information. So when we talk about integrated education and training, the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, or relearn, or really maybe more appropriately, are they able to apply what they learn? So I think this is why we want to talk more and get a conversation going amongst ourselves about integrated education and training. So we talked about it earlier. It is a service approach. It provides adult education literacy activities, those two descriptors concurrently and contextually, with all those workforce preparation activities that we talked about, and along with the workforce training, as we partner with our workforce trainers for specific occupation and occupational clusters for the purpose of educational and career advancements, really taking a look at what's out there with career pathways. IET is an educational model. It combines occupational skills training with adult education services, helps to increase the educational and career advancements of its participants. It's kind of a combination of basic ed skills and vocational skills. It can and should combine all or any of the following, such as contextualized teaching, shared classroom authority, those real-world applications, student as a stakeholder and their own education, and really it should be rewritten, the student as a stakeholder
and their own education, training, and their own employment. Integrated education is a shorter, quicker, maybe even a more effective pathway to employment, or even more importantly, it can be a shorter pathway to higher education, because we're not pulling that out. Locally, toot the horn of those using IBEST, but IBEST is a very good local model.
So here is another overview discussion, and they did talk about the preamble when they noted that as they proposed this 463.34, merely restates AFLU's definition of integrated education and training, which does not require all eligible providers to provide integrated education and training. So Section 203 of the Act lists the programs, activities, and services that are allowable under adult ed and literacy activities. Integrated education training is only one of the activities of several listed there. While that's part of the 9 rules that we unpacked earlier and that we've been discussing, this WIOA proposal helps to retain and expand the purposes of our Adult Education and Family Literacy Act, our Title II Act, which aims to help adults acquire the skills and knowledge necessary to obtain employment, become full partners in the educational development of their children, improve their economic activities for their families, and also to aid in the transition to propose or to transition to post-secondary and educational training. Go to the next slide. Also, they do not anticipate that all eligible individuals served by an eligible provider will immediately be ready for or need integrated education and training, which I know all of you are happy to hear that, and some of you have said that out loud and asked that question. Some eligible individuals, depending upon local economic conditions or individual characteristics, may be best served first through other adult education and literacy activities prior to and in preparation for subsequent enrollment in an integrated education and training program. You know, and really the idea, they may need voc rehab services, Department of Compliance services. They may need deeper, broader Iowa workforce development type services. So you're certainly not on the hook. But the idea that we build our programs, integrate our programs, and engage all of these learners who come into our programs, I think it's important that we at least get them to think about that, about these education and training programs, especially as we work for a way to provide for them a real, true career pathway to employment. It's you know, you're not completely on the hook for everyone. Don't use this as a way or a reason to not provide all that you can for those individuals. I think you'd be doing your programs and your learners a disservice if you didn't do that. So we're going to revisit a little bit more of the components of an integrated education and training program under Title II. And so again, those 3 required components: adult ed and literacy activities as described in 463.3, those workforce prep activities as described in 463.34, and again, those workforce training for specific occupation or occupational cluster, which can be any one of those training services that are defined in that 134. So as you look at the first one, that adult education piece is going to include literacy. It's going to include those workplace adult education and literacy activities that you are working on providing. It also includes those family literacy activities. It's going to include English language acquisition activities, integrated English literacy and civics education is going to be that big piece of that, as well as workforce prep activities. And then again, integrated education and training that we just got done talking about. That B portion of this, again, the whole utilization of the resources, all that information that's out there that can help them, the ability to work team with other people, also understanding those systems, and then developing and working on those skills necessary for that transition and the completion of a post-secondary education, training, and employment is that awesome end piece of that, along with employability skills that increase an individual's preparation for the workforce. The final piece of that, if you dig down into
Section 134, it establishes that portion of it off of Title I. It establishes a one-stop delivery system described further up in 121. Helps provide for career services, that's described in that paragraph 2, to adults and dislocated workers respectively through the one-stop delivery system. And then also provides training services described further up in a paragraph 3 to adults and dislocated workers, and also helps to establish and develop relationships and networks with large and small employers and their intermediaries, and that includes us, that includes you, and then to develop, convene, or implement industry or sector partnerships. So that's what, again, just a recap of exactly what we've been trying to work on, trying to push, trying to develop through all of our different programs.
All right.
Again, this overview discussion, that they acknowledged that reserving Title II funds for the provision of adult education and literacy activities, including workforce prep activities, and utilizing other sources of funding as appropriate, provide the workforce training component, can extend the availability of much needed adult and education literacy services. How does a program providing integrated education and training under Title II meet the requirements of the three required components to be integrated? So here we have it with the services must be provided again concurrently and contextually, and that we're paying attention to that first sentence within the overall scope of a particular integrated education and training program. The adult education and literacy activities, workforce prep activities, and workforce trainings are each of sufficient intensity and quality, and based on the most rigorous research available, particularly with respect to improving reading, writing, mathematics, and English proficiency of eligible individuals, that they do occur simultaneously, and that they use occupationally relevant materials. Also, that the integrated education and training program has a single set of learning objectives that identify specific adult education content, workforce preparation activities, and workforce training competencies. And the program activities are organized to function cooperatively. So again, it's just simply worth repeating through all of this that it is provided so that there is also that balance proportionally throughout this with respect to overall improvement of that English language learner, that education and training are in tandem with each other, and that instruction has an occupational framework and that it's embedded within its functionality. In proposing that section 46337, it was the intention to ensure that each of the required components of an integrated education and training program be of sufficient quality intensity. So again, that was a discussion that was brought to the table. So those proposed requirements are really intended to facilitate the design of a high quality integrated education and training program, and that focuses on improving the academic skills of low skilled adults while advancing their occupational competencies. And the overall discussion for this piece was they agree with the commenter who noted that integrated education and training is part of a career pathway strategy. And I think that's extremely important that we keep that in mind, that supports acceleration in accordance with the definition of career pathways in Section 3 of the Act, and accordingly, that the adult education and literacy activities, workforce prep activities, and occupational training should occur simultaneously and sequentially. And under that WIOA Act, the requirement that an integrated education and training program be for the purpose of educational and career advancement, the educational component of a program would be required to be aligned again to that state's content standards for adult education in our unified plan, and that the plan or program would be required to be part of that career pathway, as that term has been defined, especially using rigorous and challenging academic standards and career pathways that contextualize learning and recognize strategies to promote readiness and post-secondary education and employment. more overview of that preamble in the comments was that for those individuals who need and are ready for integrated education and training services, we believe it's necessary to use occupationally relevant instructional materials as appropriate across the three required components of the integrated educational and training program, and that we do not believe that substituting general employability instructional materials for occupationally relevant instructional materials would be consistent with the statutory requirement. So being specific, working with employers, working with sector boards, understanding what the needs are of your labor market, or what the needs are of your employers, and using that labor market information is so key to developing the programs within that adult basic ed classroom. How does a program providing integrated education and training under Title II meet the requirement that the integrated education for the training program be for the purposes of career educational, purpose of educational and career advancement? So again, the adult education component of this program is aligned with the state's content standards for adult education as described in our unified plan, and that the integrated education and training program is part of that career pathway. In large part, our intent in establishing the requirement that the adult education component of the program be aligned with our state's content standards for adult education is to support the inclusion of the transferable skills and knowledge in the design of integrated education and training. It just said my internet was unstable, so I hope it continues to be stable. And they provided a few more technical resources. Moving Pathways Forward, again, is something that several of our community colleges were involved with, and I most recently, last month, asked you guys to comment back again through a SurveyMonkey to provide information back to them, and which will go into information for links. There's the Workforce GPS Career Pathways resource through the Workforce GPS, and that's kind of a nice one to get involved with because they have really good webinars that you can get connected with. And I wanted to end on some of the key concepts. So it's important to integrate workforce prep activities into all of your adult education services. The IET programs have those three required components. Each component must be of sufficient quality and intensity and use occupationally contextualized materials, and that's really where those partnerships come in. Again, each component must be provided throughout the overall scope of the program as a whole. An IET program must be designed for both educational and career advancement, so it's not just about education anymore, it's about employment, but that's what we do, that's what we're in the business of doing, and not all students are required to be enrolled in IET programs. So there's your off-the-hook piece. I've got the chat room that I'm going to open up real quick. Okay, looks like I lost sound, but I'm back. Wanted to thank everyone for joining in today. We've got about 7 minutes, I think, before we do lose connectivity, but I'll see if I can unmute a few of you guys here. Without got Scott, got Sarah, unmute Gisella. Get some great feedback. Nancy. Well, if you guys don't have any other questions, I'm not hearing anything other than feedback. So if you guys don't have any other questions, thank you for participating and listening today. I know we'll have another coming up with either Alex or Marcella or Jane or maybe Lisa presenting as well. So thanks again. And I'll send the, you can email me any questions that you guys might have that are specific, and I'll answer those and I'll send them.
This gal has been trying to call me a million times. Should I just answer it?
Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay.
don't know what that is.
Have a great day.
Oh, it's over.
See ya.
Oh my God.